Just a recap of what's been ministered already over the last couple of weeks. You know, in Ephesians, it really speaks about the equipping of the saints and what we've received in Christ and our position in Christ, and also that we're in Christ, the hope of glory. We've been adopted by Jesus. We've been accepted by Jesus. Doesn't matter where you've come from, you've been accepted. Just as you are accepted in Christ. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. We've received forgiveness. And thereby we're able to forgive others, just as we have been forgiven. We've received wisdom and knowledge that comes from Jesus. We've received an inheritance. That means that everything that heaven has is for you. That's an inheritance. Everything that God has created and owns is for you. You are an inheritor of that which is. And guess what? You didn't earn it. You didn't have to do anything for it to get it. All that you had to do is become a son or a daughter. In God's economy, there is no gender, but he says the sons of God. So we are all brothers and sisters, sons of God. Okay. So, and so we've been received much. We've received much. We've received the seal of the Holy Spirit. We've been anointed. We've been equipped, as was shared just now. In short, we've received every spiritual blessing that God has created right from the beginning of the earth, empowered in you through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing that God has, he's given to you. Receive it. Just receive it. And you will be blessed. And you will be equipped. And you will be able to be used in his kingdom. So what we're learning about is our spiritual walk rooted in spiritual wealth. So I'm just going to read and recap the Ephesians 6, the part that we've been speaking about. So, putting on the armor of God, he says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So this was shared last week, so I'm just putting us into context by reading it again. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So this was covered last week. And so we've already started taking on the provision of God, this equipment that is going to empower us, that's going to make us stand. And we see that. I like the way that he says it, you know, that we should put it on. But it speaks in a context that it's already available. You don't have to go and make it. Just put it on. So take this armor and put it on and stand. So it's an encouraging thing that we don't have to go and to the armory and make it. God has already made it. As soldiers, Just put it on. It's been provided for. Go to the quartermaster. Sign the dotted line. Put on the armor of God. Amen. So he's starting to equip us. And so we this was shared last week. So for those who weren't there, just go get the recording. Ask Lenny for it. If you don't, I don't know where exactly it is. It's online. So Every Nation Belfast, go there and you can get last week's recording. And then to get the context of where we are, listen to today's one again. All right. Okay, so now we get on to the defense and the attack. This is what I've titled it, the defense and the attack. So he says, above all, and I like the way that he says that, above all, taking the shield of faith. So there's a specific pointing out. There's a specific emphasis on faith. There's so much that can be shared about faith. And it's a principle that we need to have established in our lives. Now, while I was reading through this, and I was just thinking on faith and the faith that we should be exercising in our faith towards God and where we find ourselves as Christians, you know, there are different types of Christians in this world. There are those that know that God exists. They go to church. They've studied perhaps a little bit. Their parents went to church, so they go to church. And I found myself there, and it's maybe you need to hear my testimony sometime, but I went to a Lutheran church and as a young kid, and I went to catechism classes, and I was fed and fed and fed and fed throughout my schooling career. You know that Monday to Friday, every morning before school, I had to go to catechism classes. Now, you can imagine a young kid being forced to do that while the other kids were playing football on the field. But because I was a Lutheran boy, I had to go to the Lutheran section and go and do catechism classes before school started. And then on Sunday, I would have to go and sit right in front, this big church. And then at a specific time, the pastor would come down and he would say, okay, that verse that you learned. And the little boy would have to stand up and say this verse off by heart. Can you believe that? That was me. And I feared that. I hated that. Because I was a wild kid. I was bad. But all the other ones, they did their stuff well. And when it came to me, my turn, I said, just pass it on to the next guy. Because I didn't like to study. I would rather play sport and do all those things. But if somebody asked me, do you know God? I would have said yes. Do you know heaven? I would have said yes. Do you believe that you're going to go to heaven? I would have said yes. But there was a fundamental thing. I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't have a born-again experience. I wasn't new in Christ. So, there are those types of Christians that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it the Word of God speaks about. So, you understand, but you don't really exercise it. You don't commit yourself to it. That's the type of Christians that exist. Then there are those Christians that have heard, and they get all excited, and then pressures of life come across and things happen in their lives and they rather take the easy road and go back to where they came from. Or they just become mediocre Christians. And then there are those Christians, now you know where I'm going to because this is about the seed ministry, you know, where it falls. Then they go, and then those that receive it and become on fire. And just go and make it happen. And just go out there and you know, they get born again and the next day they're telling somebody to get born again. you know, on fire for the Lord, just hungry and hungry and cannot, just so excited about this relationship. And you know what it is? It's that. It's faith. Do we have faith? And God says specifically in the Word, when He comes and returns, will He find faith on this earth? That's a challenge to me. Will He find faith? And you know what? Sometimes I doubt myself even. I do. I doubt whether I'm right with God. I doubt whether, and that's the things that happen. But we need this foundation in our lives. And so we need to go on and become mature Christians so that we don't doubt. We don't worry about the place that where we find ourselves in. So then he speaks about taking on the helmet of salvation and then the word, the spirit, the sword of the spirit. So we're going to unpack this. Do you have your Bibles with me? Turn to Hebrews 10, chapter 38. So we're going to be jumping around a little bit, but just to get the context of faith. Okay, chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it says, the just shall live by faith. And I just want to not read the whole sentence, just that part. The just shall live by faith. So, what makes us just? Does anybody have another translation there? Righteous, by righteousness. So just or by righteous. So what makes us righteous? Well, the moment that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are born again. Guess what happens? Old has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So we live a new life. And so the life that I now live is being justified by Christ, who has forgiven me my sins. And so as I walk now, I walk in newness of life. And guess what? When I walk in newness of life, I do it by faith. I just believe it, that I'm new. I just believe it, that I'm born again. I just believe it, that I've been justified. And what does justified actually mean? Justified, now remember this, means just is as if I had never sinned. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. So you have been forgiven. And we have an advocate with the Father who is righteous and just to forgive our sins. So as we walk and something happens, whack, I hit the wall and I sin again. I go to the advocate and I say, please forgive me for what I've done. And I come to repentance and I ask for forgiveness. And it is by faith that I walk out and say, I'm just. So I walk by faith. Does that make sense? So the just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. So we don't hollow, like we heard last week, in our spiritual bunkers where we hide away. We get up and we walk in faith. We live by faith. Amen. We live by faith. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. And verse 8. Sorry, I'm in Hebrews still. Let me just turn to Ephesians. Won't you read it for us, Jan? Have you got it there?
No,
okay. Amen. Thank you. It's just that I couldn't get there quick enough. So, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. If we continue, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are of his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, we've been saved by grace. So I believe I've been saved. And guess what? It's only by faith that I believe that I've been saved. So if you believe that you are saved, you are exercising faith without you even knowing it. However, when you get saved, guess what happens? Jesus comes and lives in you. And so the faith that I now live is not even my faith. Because it's not by works, you see. It's not by anything that I can do to make me accept it. There's nothing that I can do in my walk that's going to make me more important or more accepted in God's presence. I just walk by faith, and guess what? I'm accepted and I've been saved. And I am now walking in newness of life. So there is grace that's mixed within, and there is a relationship that I have now with God through acceptance. Okay, so then we move to Galatians chapter 2. And in verse 20. So just to emphasize, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So now the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith. So I've been made new. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I've walked by faith, receiving the newness of life. So all that really is emphasizing those scriptures that we read, that we have a relationship with God only by faith. And I just want to go a little bit on the shield. It's interesting that Paul uses the armor of God, and in those days, obviously, there was quite a lot of Roman activity in those areas. So I just, when you look at that Roman soldier and having been equipped and been having armor put on them, before he goes into battle, there's a training that takes place, obviously. So there has to be some equipping of the soldier. He's now coming up against his enemy. When we come up against our enemy, we need certain defenses. So the biggest defense that he has is his shield. Now compare the size of his shield to his opponent's. How effective is that? If you can't get through the shield, you'll never get at the person you're trying to take out. So the shield is going to be your biggest defense in this environment. I also like the way that they used to. Why was the Roman army so successful? They fought together. They were trained. They were well equipped. So they would form into these little, there's some long words for it, but a little squadron. About the same amount of people that are seated here, right now. Like, is in that little group. And the chap behind on the left-hand side, he's the sergeant of that little platoon. And the guy on the right is like the corporal of that little platoon. And then the guy in the middle is identifying to the general who's sitting on the hill what that size of that little squadron is that's over there. So, and he can see whether it's still moving around by this flag. Because they didn't have signals in those days. So that was the signal. Okay, so they didn't have telephones or radios and say, "Bravo, hello, this is Charlie here, and we're in this bunker, and we're going to be, and there's, we need more people." So they would just wave this way, and then they would know, send another squadron in, or they would, you know, if it was down, then okay, there weren't any more people, send another one in. Okay, does that make sense? All right, so that's, but when they went forward like this, they were all together. If they had split up, they would be defeated. So they had to stay together. Secondly, when the front guys that are in the battle get tired, they rotate and they move to the back and regain their strength. And then the next row takes over. And so they move through as they go like that. Now that speaks to me of the body of Christ tremendously. We hear for each other. And by faith, we're going to stand in the gap for one another. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to minister to one another. We're going to comfort one another. We're going to love one another. And so even when there are those that are going out in the battlefront, you know, we can still get sustenance here in the body of Christ. We can be taken care of. We can be looked after. So they were very effective. Do you know that they still do it today? That's not too long ago. They train like that. Very effective. You can't get through that if you do it right. So even in modern days, they still use the Roman principle. Interesting. We still use Roman principles today. Do you know that? Numerals for counting. For mathematics, etc., etc. So, what is faith? Well, the entire relationship between man and God is based upon faith. Do you know that you've never seen God? Has anyone seen God? No one. So how do you know he's there? By faith. It's absolutely by faith. Our relationship with God is by faith. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, we were there just now, and verse 26. Okay, so it says here, we're talking about the inheritance. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So, you are children of God, and it's through Jesus Christ, and it's by faith that you believe it. So, you believe that you are a son of God by faith. Romans 5, verse 1. We're just hopping around a little bit. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, we've been made just, we've been justified by faith, we also have this peace that comes. So no matter what comes across you in your life, if you have faith, you will believe that you are just and that you belong to God. And if you belong to God, as we heard early on, nothing can come against us. And how do you know that? Well, you believe it. And how do you believe it? It's by faith. So we believe that God is and that he's there, and we just believe it by faith. Now, the promises that come from that is in Hebrews 11. If we go turn back to Hebrews, in chapter 11, and verse 6. Now it says here very clearly, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So God is interested in rewarding us. He's interested in making things more pleasurable for us. He's interested in making things work for us. All that we need to do is come and seek him. And by seeking God, we come in faith to him to seek. So, how do we... The faith is taking God at his word and enjoying the promises he has made. So, we need to believe everything that we hear, that we read, and that we receive from the word of God. So that's taking God at his word and then believing it and then enjoying the promises that he has for us. Now, that's just what is faith. The most important thing is that God, Jesus described it as a mustard seed. And he said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the sycamore tree, be you rooted up and cast into the sea. Interesting that he says that. And that's how small a mustard seed is. Now, if you have faith, Jesus says it's like mustard seed. Just a little bit. That's all you need. Just a little bit and you will do mighty things. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We need to believe it, folk. We need to be equipped with it to know that it is a little bit. That's all we need. So if you feel that you don't have enough, if you feel that I'm not good enough, if you feel that I can't because of I don't look right or I haven't got enough, I haven't... They won't understand me. They won't receive me. God doesn't work in that economy. I promise you. He says, just a little bit like this. Just a little bit like this. And you'll be able to take big things and get them removed. Big things and get them removed. Now, if there's a wall in front of you like this, how do I get through it? Well, there's a couple of ways I can think. It's a big wall. Maybe I need a ladder. Or maybe a spade to go underneath. Or maybe, how long is this wall? Maybe a couple of kilometers I can run and start training for the marathon. That's a good idea. So, you know, okay, I'll run and I'll run until I get to the end of the wall and get around. Or I can say, hey, hold on a second. I'm going to go through it. But as I walk, bang, it's not working. But faith... Faith is like that. Faith is like that. Say, God, remove this wall. But guess what we do? We try and get the ladder. We try and get the spade. We try and run miles until the wall is finished to get around. But we forget to ask God, please just remove the wall. Because we don't have faith. We try and do it in our own strength. We're always trying to do it in our own strength. And guess what? Let me give you an example. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Oh, I don't know where I left my phone. Where's my keys? I forgot my keys. I don't know where my keys are. And you go frantically looking around for it. And you open up that drawer and you think, no, man, maybe it's inside the bathroom. So I go in there and I have a look. And then I go down to the kitchen and I think it must be there by the kettle because when I came and I needed some tea. And you start thinking like that and then you start saying, hey, Sandy, where's the key? And then I start saying, girls, Kristen, Andrea, where's the key? Or where's my phone? Do you get my picture? Maybe I should have just rested quickly and asked God to reveal where the key was. That's by faith, guys. Now, the big things in your life, those big things that are troubling you, that are working against you, that seem to be those things that are in your, by faith, declare that they be taken and removed into the sea. It's by faith. I'll give you another story. Jesus equipped his disciples and he said to them, go out two by two, take a sword with you, and go and do the work of the ministry. So they went out and they came back rejoicing because devils were cast out in their name and the sick were healed and all sorts of things happened. But guess what? Not long after that, it happened again that they went out and they came back and they said that they were attacked. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, by prayer and fasting. He said, by prayer and fasting. So, the faith needs to be restored. The faith needs to be energized. And it's by consuming and getting ourselves consumed with this that our faith is going to be restored. Now, how do we get faith? First of all, we need to come to God and believe that He is God. That's the first thing that needs to happen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. So, the most important method of getting faith is in Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fuck, it means immersing yourself in this. Getting to grips with the author, with the word. It also means that I need to hear. And how do they hear unless somebody be sent? So we need preachers, right? We need people to preach the word of God so that we can be equipped with faith. Because right now, believe it or not, as you're sitting there, faith is being imparted to you miraculously. You've been strengthened in the inner man. You've been made new in the inner man. Jesus is equipping you right now, and your faith is being restored. So what does that mean for you and me? It means I need to place myself and take my body and put it in a place where it can hear that faith can be restored. And faith can be given. Now, I'm speaking about practical things. When there's a life group meeting, try and get there. Why? Because it's your faith. It's going to be restored. When you get the opportunity to hear the word, go. Your faith is going to be restored. It's going to be made bigger. You're going to have a bigger shield. When things come against you, faith. I believe I'm the Son of God. I know I'm able to stand because He's equipped me with believing. So I come to God and I know that He is, and I believe that He is by faith. I know that I come to God and I believe that He is, and He's a rewarder as I seek Him, that He's going to reward me and equip me to do the work of the ministry. And I know that I have need of Him, and I know that I have to have my faith increased And the disciples said, you know, increase our faith. And then he said, if you have seed, faith as a mustard seed. And so he was using that as an example. Whatever it is that is in your way, ask God to remove it. Don't try and do it in your own strength. Get on your hands and knees and pray. Remove it. God, remove it. So, we need to move on. Faith is a huge subject. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And I just want to quickly jump on these. There is so much to be able to share about it. It's interesting that he speaks about the helmet of salvation. It's the last piece of armor that the soldier needs to put on. Because if you think about it, if the soldier's walking around without a head, he's pretty useless, isn't it? It's a useless soldier. Or if he takes a blow to the head and he's concussed, he's also a useless soldier. Absolutely useless. So he uses this as the last piece of armor to put on. But the funny thing is that where Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, your attack is going to come here. Because it's the mind that plays tricks on us. Or we process thoughts over and over again in our mind. You're not good enough. You can't do it. You're not capable. You haven't been a Christian long enough. Oh, look what you did last week. Oh, that was bad. You were a bad boy. How can you now go and do this? Do you understand what I'm saying? So we take these thoughts are coming in our minds all the time. And they're being processed in our mind. And you know what? They become bigger than what I am. They become bigger than life. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 10. If you want to turn with me there. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus says, he's preaching with regards to the fear of God and having reverence before God. And in 28 he says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy the soul and body in hell. Now that's quite a heavy scripture. But the emphasis is don't fear man. Have you heard that saying, sticks and stones? We've all heard it before. For those who haven't, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words can never harm me. I'll tell you what, words. Sometimes things get said and they just affect people. We take them and we let them play in our minds and they destroy us. God says, don't fear man. Rather fear him. Rather fear him. And I can only do that by faith. The recipe is by faith. So I walk in faith. And I say, God, you before me, who can be against me? Whatever you that person said to me, whatever they did to me, God is stronger. God is more able. But I can only do that by faith. Because these things can be extremely real in my life. And they can affect me. And so the mind is really where it plays at. And I just want to get another recipe for that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I'm just trying to find myself around here. And And verse 3, chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Here we are encouraged by Paul to take every thought captive in the obedience. Now, that needs that obedience, because if I'm obedient to God's word and to his instruction, I will do exactly that and take every thought captive. So, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So that is our solution. That is our answer. I've got another 5 minutes. Praise the Lord. I'm almost there. Sword. Just the sword quickly. Some people say it's our only offensive, our method of attack. I don't believe that, actually. Now I'm going to get controversial. All right, so the sword is the word as we know it, and it rightly divides between right and wrong. It rightly divides between spirit and carnality. And I just want to read the scripture to you, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 15. Once we've been equipped with the word, our solution is in verse 15 in 2 Timothy chapter 15, is to be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So once we've taken on all this armor and we've gone through Ephesians and we've taken on all these promises, now we are to take on becoming soldiers for Christ. That's what it really is. So we're now equipping ourselves to do the ministry. And I think for myself, that's the biggest challenge in my life, is to present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Because there's always something in me that wants to hold back. There's always something that wants to prevent that from taking place. You know, yesterday when Sandy got back from the ladies' meeting, she mentioned that they were talking about some people's names and about the meaning of their names. And so we started looking at our family and their names. And then they asked, Dad, what about your name? What does it mean? I've forgotten. I once knew. And it was interesting what came out, because it relates to this. It relates to this, presenting that you may be used. Because God wants to use every one of us. Every one of us. Yes, you, Aiden. God wants to use you. Promise you. God wants to use every one of us. It's time that we presented ourselves to the Father and said, here I am, use me. He's equipped us enough, but now we're supposed to become part of that sword that's able to go into this world and divide right from wrong. Be able to cut right to the chase of separating light from darkness, bringing people from darkness into light by the word of God. And so when Jesus was in the wilderness, we know very well that he used the word. He didn't say anything of his own, but he quoted scripture, and Satan was defeated. So the equipment that we use, the equipping that we use, is the Word of God. Then it goes on to say, I believe this is our second offensive weapon, the battle axe, praying. So, he says in the ending, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of the saints, and for me that the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, in that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, folk, we need to pray for one another. This is extremely important. We need to pray for the elders of this church. We need to pray for those who minister the word, that they may do so boldly, and that the gospel may have free course amongst us. Amen. Amen. So just in conclusion, in Ephesians 2, it says, for we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Fuck, we've been equipped. We have been made in his image to be his workmen for good works. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thanks so much, Conrad. Father, we want to just thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this word. Father, I pray that you seal these words and these truths, Lord. I thank you, God. Father, for our identity, Father. Thank you for this armor, God, as we walk into this week, as we go into this week, Father. We thank you for the identity that you've given us. Thank you for the confidence. Thank you for the sword of the Spirit, Lord. I thank you for the shield of faith, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight in Jesus' mighty name. And help us to stand strong against the schemes of the enemy, Father. We thank you that we, our confidence is in you, Father. And thank you, Lord, there's more for us than against us. In Jesus' mighty name.